Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio, the eclectic DIY show. Today, I want to update you on my weight loss journey. It's a solo show. I have a sore throat. And I thought, well, I've been wanting to talk about this despite my sore throat. So please excuse the raspy voice. I don't have COVID. Please go get your vaccine shot. Is that what they call it? You can walk into most drugstores and there might be a bit of a wait, or you can make an appointment with a lot of them. So check that out, okay? I've talked about my weight loss journey before, and I'll just start from the beginning. During the pandemic, pre-pandemic, I had some surgery on my foot that kept me from basically anything other than walking with like a cane. I couldn't do. And yet I kept on eating the same way, and I put on, and it was in the winter, and I put on a lot of weight. I think part of that was like anxious eating, because then that moved into the pandemic where I was just unhappy, as most people were. And you see, I seek solace in food. You know, what's one more cookie? Chocolate chip cookie. Well, it shows. And I could see in my videos that I'm editing that I started to get quite a gut, for the lack of a better polite word about it. And I didn't feel great about it either. I see my friends who have my kind of body frame, as they get older, they're starting to get a big gut, and I'm like, that's not healthy, and I don't want to be like that. And I had to buy another set of pants. I went from a 33 waist to a 34. In college, I was a 32. And I'd love to get back to that, but we'll see. And I tried, you know, just, oh, I can do it in my head. I can drop weight. You know, I used to be able to do that when I was younger. I could just stop drinking and I'd lose weight. But that didn't work anymore. I did stop drinking, and it made quite a difference after COVID. But it wasn't like it used to be. And I heard about the new map. Actually, I think I saw a YouTube ad for it, and basically people getting testimonials about it. And I tried it. I signed up for it. The camera operator signed up for it. She didn't really find it to her liking, and she also doesn't need to lose weight. And I do. And I felt it kind of talking to me like they were a high school cheerleader. And it was kind of a turnoff, and I was being Eric about it, you know. And so I stopped using it. But I still had this weight I wanted to lose. And so I thought, after a while, I'm like, okay, I will retry this. And the light bulb went off in my head about what it's really all about. It is like a cheerleader, and I've actually learned to like that. It's kind of having this gentle nudge. And they clearly have a copywriter that has kind of a sense of humor, you know, working on the app. And it's like, they're kind of goofy a little bit. And I'm kind of a goof, as we know. So I liked it. And here's the biggest thing with Noom. And I found this to be true myself. If you log your meals, if you basically touch or type in your meals into the app and read a little, like 5 minutes of stuff every day, and log your weight, you will lose a pound a week. And I found that to be true. And they use this cognitive behavior model. It's not just about the calorie counting. There's no guilt. There's no, oh, you had that double chocolate cake. That's bad. They're like, okay, here's, that's fine. You can eat what you want. They have what they call red, yellow, and green foods as far as a caloric density of those foods, some health ramifications of those foods. And their whole thing is, during the day, ideally you eat one-third green foods, one-third yellow foods, and one-third red foods. So if you want to have a bowl of pasta, you know, white pasta, you know, not whole grain pasta, refined flour pasta, go ahead, just write it down. But the app and the messaging, you know, the little things you read slowly make you realize the ramifications of the things you're eating, to the point now where I went to the store. We had some friends over. We were going to have some tea, and I went and got some different teas. And one was a ginger tea that I'd never seen this company before, this box. And I got home with I'm like, oh, this is a ginger tea, and it's from, I think it was from Costa Rica. I thought it was very interesting. But the packets for each cup of tea were huge, and I'm like, what's in this? And there's a ton of sugar in it, a ton of, you know, white. I think they used brown sugar, but brown sugar is white sugar with some molasses thrown in, basically. And any other time, I'd be like, oh, wow, this is going to taste good. And now I'm like, wow, I'm not going to drink that. And I gave the box away because I just don't need that sugar. I know that if I eat better, I will get to the goal that I really want. And people are now noticing that I have lost weight. You can evidently see it in my face. And I can also put on pairs of pants I couldn't before. But let me get back to the beginning here. So I stopped using the app and then I kind of picked it up again. And I am still erratic about it. I basically lost 10 pounds. And then I was like, okay, I can do this. And I stopped using the app and I just was like, Eric, and I gained almost all the 10 pounds back. And I was like, oh, this isn't good. So I started using the app again and I am down 11 pounds now. And I am still erratic with logging the food so I don't lose a pound a week. There's other stuff going in my life that I can talk about probably next spring, and there's a better, fuller story about it. But that kind of weighs on me, so I'm like, anyway. But if you follow the thing, you will lose the weight. The other key thing I have found is I put the scale. You want to weigh yourself every morning, and I thought, oh, I'll just, when I'm brushing my teeth, I'll weigh myself. Well, I forget. Now I put the scale right next to the bed and I get up and I weigh myself. You know, the puppies are jumping in bed, the labs, because that they're like, oh, we get to go out, we get to eat. You know, they wake us up, and which is fine, but you have to put the Labrador aside for a minute, who's crawling in your lap, a 70-pound lab in your lap. You don't want to have Andy in you on your lap while you're weighing yourself. So then you weigh yourself, and I just make a mental note of the number. I'm at like 179 and a half right now. And the other day, though, I was up at 180 and 0.7 or something. And so your weight is going to fluctuate. Just depends on the exact time of day you weigh yourself. Did you drink a glass of water before you weighed yourself? You know, stuff like that. So I've gotten really good at weighing myself. Even when I don't log the food, I weigh myself. And the next thing I did was paying more attention, because of the app, paying more attention of what I eat. I have oatmeal in the morning, and I have it with some ground flax meal, that Bob's Red Mill flax meal. No sugar, no Splenda, maybe a splash of oat milk, and that's it. And then I was reading. The New York Times has a well section, or those wellness section. And either the people that write it are PhD nutrition experts, or they are quoting nutrition experts. It's not just something you read on the internet for your own research, if you know what I mean. And I found out that, I love peanut butter. Okay. I used to eat peanut butter out of the jar. I just love peanut butter. And I've basically cut down on that tremendously. And I thought it was bad to eat peanut butter. And they're saying in this article, breakfast is a very important part of your day. And if you feel full after breakfast, and I thought I was feeling full after breakfast with oatmeal, you will not snack until lunch, ideally. You know, you can. It's okay to snack with the Noom app. And they said, well, you should have so many grams of protein and so many calories in your oatmeal or whatever breakfast food you're eating. And I tallied up the oatmeal with a dash of oat milk and the flax meal and looked at the calories and the protein. You know, I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I've never literally written it down on a piece of paper. And then I wrote down the New York Times suggested ones, and I was low on protein. And they said, it's totally okay to have some peanut butter for breakfast. And I wanted to hug them. you know? So I put a tablespoon of peanut butter into my oatmeal and I swish it around and I love it. What you have to be careful with peanut butter and anything that like that is a tablespoon is less than you think. It's not a big serving spoon or a soup spoon. It might be what you consider a teaspoon, actually. You know, the teaspoon out of your drawer, not the teaspoon baking measurement thing. Trying to get a tablespoon of peanut butter out of a baking measuring spoon is a pain. So you'll get a feel for it. Put in less than you think. And it works really great. So, yeah, I never thought that I would be that aware of the foods I was eating. And we've also moved toward more eating dark green foods. This is from reading the New York Times Well section, or there's a couple online sites that I find legit talking about, you know, I guess health and stuff like that. The camera operator and I both need, I do all the cooking, and the camera operator loves, you know, broccoli and kale and stuff. I'm like, well, I'll just cook more of that. To the point of, I asked all the patrons, we have an app that we use to keep in touch with each other. I said, hey, and now there's a discussion part of the app. I'm still getting used to that. But I'm thinking about getting an air fryer. Should I get the basket kind or the toaster oven kind? And like 10 different people weighed in on what they used. And it's really personal preference. But I thought if I got the air fryer, it would be easier to cook like broccoli, because I can steam broccoli and then we can throw, you know, I could throw some vinaigrette on it or something, or I could steam it and then toss it in a little garlic and oil in a fry pan. But I kind of like things where I can put it in, turn it on and walk away and set a timer. That's what I like about the Instant Pot. So it's weird how I never would have thought I would be this deep into our nutrition, and I actually enjoy it. And it's all because of the app, really. When you first start the app, it's going to, by the way, I'm not affiliated with Noom. I'm just a fanboy, kind of like I'm a fanboy of Apple products. Oh, and that's another thing we're going to talk about is, what was I just talking about? Fanboy. I just totally lost what I was going to say next. So anyway, logging the food. Okay, I remember now. When you first set up the app, it asks you, hey, how many minutes a day you want to spend on this app reading stuff, not the logging of your meals and stuff like that. And I said 5 minutes. So every day when you open the app to log, I log my weight so I don't, you know, so I do that first. And I start, you know, I log my breakfast. By the way, for all your, if you have the same thing for breakfast, you can type that in to the app and it calculates all the calories. And you have a custom section where instead of having to go, okay, half cup of oatmeal, a quarter cup of oat milk, and 2 tablespoons of flax meal, instead of having to do that every day, you just go oatmeal with flax and you set it up in your recipes section, which is just, you know, the next tab over, and just go boom. That's what I have. Boom. It's that simple. But in addition to logging, they want you to read a little bit. They also have it all as an audio file, I think. Most of it. You can listen to it instead of reading it. But they are 2-minute, 3-minute articles. So I said 5 minutes. So I usually read a 2-minute article and then a 3-minute article. Or I read two-minute articles and there's a 1-minute multiple choice test. They really change it up to make it interesting. But you are slowly learning about what's good for you. And you're learning how your mind not really tricks you, but why you snack when you don't nutritionally need it. Why you snack when your body doesn't need it. And it doesn't really apply to me, but like how to deal with if your roommate or partner sits down next to you watching TV with a bowl of Doritos and some dip, you know, and you want to eat that, and you're like, well, so it kind of gives you suggestions for what, it tells you why your brain's doing it, and how to cope with that, or I don't know if the word is coping, but how to deal with that. So I like that. So it has gotten me to, I never thought I would think this way. I never thought I'd do a lot of things, but Yeah, and so I think a lot more about it, to the point that the Cam Rapporteur said last night, because I was like, I said something about, I'm like, man, that's a ton of sugar in that, so let's not eat that. I went to Costco, and what I used to buy, the 10-pack of Annie's boxed macaroni and cheese, which I love. And then I finally looked at the nutritional label on the back, and it said something like 270 calories. And I'm like, okay, every once in a while I could have that. There's also a ton of salt in it, which as you get older, a lot of salt every day is not good for you. But then I looked at the serving size. The serving size, I'm pretty sure, said 2.5 servings. So that is 270 and 270. It's 650 calories or something. So when I eat a whole box of macaroni and cheese, which I don't think is a bad portion, you're all rolling your eyes at me right now. It used to be I would do that, and that was lunch or dinner. I'd throw some peas in it and think that was I was being healthy. And I don't do that anymore. To the point that I had like 8 of a 10-pack still in the shrink wrap, you know, that you get at the Costco. And I put it out on my front step, and someone took it. There are a lot of families here that, you know, are in need of food, and they're all boxed. It was totally healthy, and it was gone. And it was out of my house, and so I don't eat it. And it's interesting how I would have previously been, well, let me eat all those, and then I'll never buy them again. And now I'm like, I really don't need that. What I want to do, is fit into my original pair of pants, you know? The other component to weight loss and maintaining a healthy weight is exercise. And the app is great because you connect it with the health app on your iPhone or your Android, if you choose to do that. And it keeps track of all your steps. And because we live in an urban environment most of the time, and because when we're up at the little house every morning, we go on a hike with the dogs, which is an hour-long hike. There's all sorts of trails on Land Conservancy land, or rail trails. Just check them out. Those steps count toward the health that they're tracking every day. And any calories that you generate through exercise or walking, they give half of those back to you as your calorie allotment, your ideal calorie intake for the day. And if you can get below that, then you're going to be losing weight, which is really cool. So the exercise portion of it, I still am doing HasFit on YouTube, and then Fit by Mick, M-I-K, F-I-T-B-Y-M-I-K, all one word. There's a woman, she does mainly hand weights. There are some, I like her resistance bands works out, but I think I might be transitioning to hand weights because there's a lot more videos about that. I like the resistance bands for like leg work and stuff, and I'm like, how do you work your legs with hand weights, you know? But anyway, that's another challenge for me, is fitting the exercise into the, I like to exercise in the morning. I don't really like to do it at the end of the day because at 6 o'clock I crash. But, you know, in the morning I'm kind of getting the dogs taken care of. We go on a walk with the dogs. The camera operator needs to go on a walk before work just for her health. And then I get her off to work and I get the dogs fed. And then I'm like ready to start the Garden Fork part of the day, or the Eric World part of the day. And so a lot of times I'm like, oh, I got too much to do today, I'm not going to exercise. And that is still a thing I'm challenged with. I exercised this morning, and I figured out with the HasFit people, there's a couple of favorite exercise routines I have, and I know what they are. I know all the exercises now. So I have my iPad, and I play the HasFit exercise routine I'm doing, and I turn the volume off because they have a nice banter, which I like to a point. But now, if I already know the exercise routine, I just need them to nudge me along and, you know, watch your form and stuff. I watch a YouTube video that's about the same length. So the exercise routine is like 25 minutes. I find the 25-minute video. What I have been watching lately is stories from the Casina. It's a couple from the Netherlands that bought a rundown farmhouse in northern Italy, and it is the most anti-DIY video series I've ever watched. It's more like watching a series of beautifully filmed short films, and it's a vicarious experience. You learn a little bit. I'm just like, I want to move to northern Italy. The first couple of videos, it was the first time they're doing it, so they're not like amazing, but I think I'm watching number 8 now. And boy, the editing is really good, and the camera work is really good. And yeah, so I know some of the shots are staged, but I get really inspired by watching them because I'm like, oh, I could do how-to videos that have a film, cinema, maybe quality to it, you know? So I watch that while I'm doing the exercise, because watching, just doing the exercise with the Hazard people, after the first couple times, I already know the routine. I know what they're going to say next, and I'm bored out of my mind. So if I watch a video, it's kind of like a carrot and stick. Okay, you can watch this really long video, but you got to exercise while you're doing it. So that's my world. The other big thing, which just I did on the Black Friday weekend, which is this weekend, I bought an Apple Watch. Again, another thing I thought I would never do because I don't wear a watch. A lot of times I don't really care what time it is. If I need to know what time it is, I just look at my phone. And I'm kind of like on purpose devoid of any kind of ornamentation. I have a wedding ring, but I kind of forget I have that on, basically. There are days where I've lost enough weight that I can get my ring off again. That's a big thing. But I bought an Apple Watch. It's a renewed Apple Watch. You can buy them on Apple. They have a refurbished site, but they don't always have what you exactly want on their refurbished site. And then I found on Amazon and on Target, and probably on Walmart too, you can buy what they call renewed Apple products. And Amazon, I always try and spread around my online buying. So Amazon had some of what I was interested in. I was interested in a Series 8 watch. There is a Series 9 now, and I think an Ultra. And I bought a Series 8 with a 45 millimeter bezel or crown that's a little bigger. And I got it at a substantial discount through Target. And they ship just as fast as Amazon and all them. And I like spreading around. And I got the watch. I'm pretty sure it's a brand new Apple Watch. Maybe they call them renewed. Maybe they have a slight defect in the manufacturer, I'm guessing. And their description says may have some blemishes and may have reduced battery life. But I'm like, I just, the thing looks brand new, and it was a substantial discount to buy it. And to me, yes, it is an expense. It's expensive, but what's your life worth, you know? So I'm charging that up right now. I watched some how-to videos about what you can do with an Apple 8 watch. I was instantly overwhelmed by all that. But I like the idea of, I mainly got it to track my exercise and body temperature and sleep. Sleep is becoming really important, I've realized. When you have Labradors that like to jump in the bed 3 times a night, it wakes you up. So we're working on that. But yeah, that's the Eric story. I figured if I shared it with you, it would make me more accountable about all of this because you're going to ask me questions about it, as Nicole does, which I love, by the way. Let me look at my notes. Just I talked about peanut butter, follow through, Apple Watch. Yeah, I think that's it. So let me know what you think. I put on a pair of Carhartts last weekend that I would not able to fit into for a bunch of years. And that was kind of neat. That was like, oh. I mean, I still have a gut. I have a picture of myself during the, if you're around long enough, remember when Ford Motor Company gave me a Ford Fiesta to drive around for a year? They came to New York and did a photo shoot with all the New York City Ford Fiesta influencers. And I have a picture of me leaning against my car, and that my gut is not hanging over my belt in that photo. I wonder if I can put that up with this. I can't really hold it up to the microphone, can I? I'll put it in the email newsletter. If you want to sign up for the newsletter, that is just go to the gardenfork.tv site, and there's a sign up almost everywhere, or gardenfork.tv/news is the actual page to sign. There's a sign up right there as well. The website will get a reboot next year. It's a dumpster fire right now. I'm just trying to focus on the podcast and the patrons and putting out a few videos every month. I've got a backlog of videos to edit. I'm installing a new window in the basement. I don't know if you remember looking in my shop. There's this, what looked like an old kind of bay window in the wall, and that is leaks like crazy. And heat is installed in the basement now. We got a new furnace, and I want to heat the basement without having all the heat go out that window. So I'm installing that this weekend and shooting some video about that. All right. Sign up for the newsletter. Get a picture of Eric. Thanks for watching. No, we're not watching. We're listening. But send me an email. It's radio@gardenfork.tv. radio@gardenfork.tv. All right. Go out and do cool stuff. And please make it a great day. I'll see you. Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goots. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com. Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goose. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.